Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The verse that I think is burnt into many of our hearts is found in chapter 24, in verse 32. And they said to one another, "Was not our heart burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was opening to us the scriptures?"
Amen.
Francis Ball, as you can hear, has joined us for fellowship again today. Francis, I love this portion. I always have, and to see it as it's open in this ministry, as we'll have it today, is really a treat, isn't it?
It is, and this is really a marvelous story, and you can really identify with it. Just walking along after seeing such an awful event of the crucifixion. To them, of course, it was awful because the one they thought was going to take and set up his kingdom was the one that was crucified instead.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being on a throne, he was on a cross. Instead of being at his right hand and his left hand, here they are walking downward from Jerusalem, disappointed and discouraged.
I've been there.
Yeah, I've been there too, yeah.
And so we need the kind of unveiling that they received, don't we all, when we get to that point. Let's pick it up a little bit. I think to set the background, now we are just past the crucifixion, as you pointed out. Mary and a few other sisters run down to the tomb, wanting to see the Lord even as he lay in the tomb. And there, of course, they find the tomb is empty. And as we all know, they saw the Lord in resurrection, and quite an encouragement to turn this sad, empty feeling, no doubt, that they were filled with, full of grieving, into such joy that it would be hard to express. And now we've picked up a few of these verses. It's a fairly long story in chapter 24, but at least a few of these verses, I think, will summarize it to some degree. Let me just go ahead and read it. "And behold, two of them were going on the same day to a village named Emmaus, which was 60 stadia away from Jerusalem. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are these words which you are exchanging with one another while you are walking?' And they stood still, looking sad. And he said to them, 'O foolish and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he explained to them clearly in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.' And a bit later, 'And as he reclined at table with them, he took the loaf and blessed it, and having broken it, he began handing it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from them. And they said to one another, Was not our heart burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was opening to us the scriptures?'" And I think that's a very key portion, isn't it?
Very good. My, that is, "while he's opening to us the scriptures." These are men who should have known a little bit of what he was talking about, because he makes reference to the prophets of the Old Testament, which they should have been acquainted with. But here they seem to be completely oblivious to what they had learned in their background.
Francis, we're going to have an introductory word from Witness Lee today. Before we pick up the story of these two on their way to Emmaus and all that it encompasses, and this first portion is quite marvelous. It's regarding the Lord's resurrection, and it's a very, very good preface, I think, to our message today. And the point in this first portion will touch a couple of verses I thought I would read to set this up. And in John chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.'" Speaking of his resurrection, he said, "I will raise it up." However, when we go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 32, we read this. It says, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we all are witnesses." So, did the Lord raise himself, or did God raise him up?
Yes.
Very good. Let's join Witness Lee.
The resurrection of the man Savior is God's vindication of him and of his work. He worked for 2.5 years, and also he lived on this earth over 33.5 years. Eventually, he was buried. If he would just remain there in a tomb, that would mean God didn't justify what he was and what he did. But he was resurrected. And his resurrection, according to the New Testament, was mentioned in two ways. Number one way, that he rose up by himself. He resurrected by himself. In John 10, he told us he had the power to lay down his life, and he has also the power to receive it back. That means he had the power to die and he had the power to rise up. So in this sense, he rose up from the dead by himself. On the other hand, New Testament tells us that he was raised up by God to rise up by himself to show his life power, his ability in his resurrection life. But for God to raise him up, this means God's justification and vindication of what he was and what he did on this earth of 33.5 years. He lived that way, absolutely different from religion, absolutely different from culture, absolutely different from human society. He lived that way. If he only died on the cross, yet he didn't rise up, or if God only judged him in death on the cross, but not raised him up from the dead, that would affect our salvation, because he died for us. But the fact was that he died and he rose up, and God judged him in death, and God raised him up from the dead. And this raising up by God was God's justification and vindication to him concerning what he was and what he did. Also, this was a justification and vindication to us as our assurance that surely God has accepted what he did for us on the cross.
Well, Francis, your yes to my double-edged question was the right answer, it turns out. Christ raised himself up. We see that in a couple of portions. And we also see clearly that God raised him up. Mm-hmm. This touches two aspects, doesn't it? Why are both of these aspects important as we consider the Lord in his resurrection?
Well, both of these aspects are really important, especially when we think about the fact that God justified him by raising him up. That means he approved and he was satisfied with the way he lived and with his death. And we also are identified with him in his death. So we know from God's acceptance of his death by raising him up means that we also are justified. All the believers are justified in Christ. In Christ, the resurrected one, we are accepted before God. So this gives a marvelous meaning, not only to that, but this also includes the fact that he was victorious. He really had the victory over the world, over Satan, over death, over Hades, and even over the tomb. So with his resurrection was a real victory over everything and a real owning of God that this one is the one in whom he is well pleased.
It was an utter and complete vindication of Christ, wasn't it, Francis?
Yes.
His resurrection being raised by God.
Yeah.
What about now the aspect of him being involved in raising himself up and the authority that's implied there?
Well, that means, of course, that he is God. His divine power and his divine life had the power to raise him up. He could lay down his life and he could raise it up again. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have power to raise it up again. So his authority was in his divinity. He has the power to raise himself up, raise his life up again, and impart that life into us.
I'm reminded of his word to the sisters at the tomb of Lazarus there, or the house of Lazarus, when
right.
he was not yet raised up. And the Lord presented himself not as the one who could do this miracle of raising up Lazarus, but he presented himself as the one who is resurrection.
Right.
I am the resurrection.
That's right.
So this implies a lot, doesn't it?
I really like that. When he said, I am the resurrection and the life, that manifests clearly that he has the power to raise himself up even from the dead.
Well, this is the one that now has joined our two friends on their way to Emmaus that we began the program talking about, in that passage that we read that unfolds this wonderful story that I think all readers of the Bible and lovers of the Lord Jesus can identify with these two and have had this experience of the Word opening up and the lasting effect, that burning that you realize, that you remember and hang on to in your heart that was so important and dynamic at that moment. Let's join Witness Lee as he touches this account.
In chapter 24, Luke gave us a record of his action in resurrection. After his resurrection, he is walking with his disciples, yet unconscious to the disciples. Oh, these two dear ones, fully disappointed, discouraged, and because they were discouraged, they wouldn't stay in Jerusalem. They took a wrong direction. They left Jerusalem for a little village, Emmaus. But while they were taking that downward way, the resurrected Savior was with them. He was traveling with them. When they were talking, all of a sudden, two became three. I tell you, this man Savior, after enter into resurrection, he became omnipresent. Don't think you can stay away from him. You remain in Jerusalem, that's wonderful, he is with you. You will leave and go away from Jerusalem, downward to a village. He is walking with you. He is walking with you. Whether you know, you don't know, whether you are conscious to it or not, that doesn't matter. The fact is that he is with you. You are walking downward, you just bring him downward. Actually, it was not him that walking. It was you that brought him there. He came. He was brought by you. If you remain in Jerusalem, he'll be there. See, just because you came to this part, he was brought by you to this part. You have to realize this.
Well, Francis, there's a big word that is part of any proper description of God that is somewhat presented here, but I like the simple, easy way it is presented for us more simple people to get a hold of, and that's this word omnipresent.
Yeah.
How does this story really display God in his omnipresence?
Well, God is there even when you don't see him. And with this case, this is the resurrected Christ. This is the one who is now the pneumatic Christ. The Jesus that they had walked with for 3.5 years now was walking with them and in them. This is a marvelous realization of who God is. He has now become incarnated to be a man, and he has died on the cross, and now in resurrection, and he's with these disciples. Now, this is our story. He's with us all the time. When you know it, he's with you. When you don't know it, he's with you. When you know it, he seems to be less with you than when you don't know it. So here's a case where right after his resurrection, these two disappointed disciples are walking downward, sad, their faces downward, their hope is gone, and yet here the Lord Jesus is with them. And one question really stirs up a conversation that will open their eyes. Isn't that marvelous?
It is. And you rightly pointed out, in spiritual significance, all roads lead down from Jerusalem, right?
That's right.
And so they're going to this place, Emmaus. The implication here is that really they shouldn't have been going. They should have stayed in Jerusalem. But that didn't preclude the Lord coming with them, even being brought there, as you pointed out. That was quite a wonderful point. This wasn't just so much that the Lord decided to also to go to Emmaus, but he was brought there by virtue that here were two of his disciples.
That's right.
What a picture.
This is really marvelous. This is our story, too. Of course, they should have stayed in Jerusalem, but they were disappointed because Jerusalem didn't turn out like they expected when they went into it. They thought the Lord would go and set up his kingdom in Jerusalem, but actually he was going there to die. Then he died, but he rose again. And in resurrection now, he's with these disappointed disciples to minister himself into them by opening up the word to them.
Francis, I think that's a pretty good word to really impart to all of our listeners, that the next time they're on a road going down with the head down and their countenance down and no sense of the Lord's presence, that's a sure sign that he's right there.
Right, right.
Why don't we go back to Witness Lee?
The main thing he did was to open two things to them. Number one, to open the Word of God to them. To open the scripture to them. You must realize, you may have a Bible, the Bible is altogether closed to you. In the scripture, there is a full record, a full revelation concerning the three things, Christ, his death, and his resurrection. No need to say in the New Testament, all there in the Old Testament. But these things were not opened up to his followers. So he came to them in order to open up the Holy Word to them. Number two, he came to them in order to open up their eyes. The Savior was to go further from them, yet they retained him. And then they offered him a loaf, and he broke the loaf. Then their eyes were opened. They realized that was he. Not only their eyes were not open, even by that time, Peter, John, James, their eyes were neither open. Why? Because after that journey, they two went back to Jerusalem. When they went back, it was late in the night. At that juncture, he appeared again. James, John, Peter, they all were there. They were shocked by his appearance. You see, they didn't have the open eyes to see him. So, what the Savior did on that journey was to open to them Word of God and their own eyes. The strange thing is, right after their eyes were opened, that they realized it was he, he disappeared. When you do not realize that he was with you, he was with you. When you realize that was he disappeared. Luke doesn't say he went away. See, disappearing is kind of a hiding to make his visible presence invisible. You shouldn't think the man Savior, he left these two. No, no, he didn't leave. He was still with them, but sometimes his presence was visible, and sometimes his presence was invisible. When the presence becomes invisible, it becomes a kind of absence, a kind of disappearing. When his presence becomes visible, that is his appearing. Don't forget, now he is no more in the flesh. Now he is pneumatic. He is the Spirit.
Francis, there's a lot in this segment that we want to spend a little time on. Two things the Lord accomplished here, illustrated by the way he unveiled things to these two men, these two disciples on the road to Emmaus. The first had to do with the Bible, and I liked his word. We may have a Bible, but it's probably, or it may be closed to us. I think all of us had that feeling at one time or another, haven't we?
It's common among Christians to have a Bible, but not know what it says. We really need to have the Lord with us to open up the Word. Hear how he opened up this with these two here was really quite a rebuke. He said, "O foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." See, they should have known something about the prophecies of what would happen there in Jerusalem. But because they hadn't believed what the prophets have spoken, they were in darkness and sadness and discouragement. But now he opens up the Bible to them and begins to show from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And through that opening up the Bible, they begin to realize who this was with them. And this is our experience, too, that when the Bible is opened up to us, we realize much more about his presence, about his leading us and everything, than without the open Bible.
I recall as we've gone through this life study of Luke, we've seen on three different occasions the Lord spoke direct, clear words to his disciples about what was awaiting him in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And on all three occasions, they missed it completely.
Right.
Which is why they were so disheartened here and saddened. Only Mary, as we saw, heard him as she sat at his feet and listened and heard those words. To her it was opened, to them it was not. We all need this opening up
right.
of the word that reveals all that's contained. Now, how about the second factor here? Not only were their eyes open to see the scriptures, but eventually, as he broke the bread and was passing it, this is quite marvelous. They had another realization, didn't they?
Oh, they did, and they must have called immediately to mind what he had just done before he went to the cross, when he had the last Passover feast with them, and then after the feast was over, that part of it, then he broke the bread in their presence and gave the bread to them, which was the establishing of what we call the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper.
Right.
So that breaking of the bread is when they knew him. They saw him then. They saw who he was, not only from the Bible, but also from his opening up their understanding and showing himself to them. This is marvelous.
It is. He said to them at one point, it's not because of the miracles, but because I fed you that
yeah.
you followed me. And this another reinforcement of that
right.
divine principle, isn't it?
That is. And I like it very much. He was made known to them in the breaking of bread.
Oh.
I tell you, so many times in
yes.
coming to the breaking of bread meeting, which
right.
is the Lord's table meeting, I've gotten to know him more. So I think this is a real opportunity for us to know his word and know him.
Francis, I many times have to pinch myself to find out I'm not sleeping and dreaming this, that day after day we get to handle these portions
yeah.
and have this experience of the Word being opened up
right.
and our eyes really seeing Him.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your fellowship.
Thank you.
For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.